So the cliche is, what's wrong with teenagers? We know their brains aren't fully developed, or as that shepherd in Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale puts it, there is nothing to teenagers but getting wenches with child, wronging ancientry, in other words, older people, stealing and fighting. But in fact, the way teenagers act may be evolutionary and advantageous. If they behaved any other way, humankind may be doomed. So concludes writer David Dobbs, who started looking into all of this after his son was pulled over for reckless driving at 113 miles per hour. David's article in National Geographic is entitled Beautiful Brains. He joins us from Vermont Public Radio. Welcome.
Thank you.
I love that when your son was, you know, very apologetic for, you know, driving at 113 miles per hour, wanted to make clear to you that it wasn't reckless because he was concentrating.
Yes, this was the one thing that irked him, along with paying the $1,000 in fines that he had to pay later. Oh. But it irked him that among the several citations he was issued, one was for reckless driving. And I asked him, why on earth? It seems like reckless to me. And he said, well, in some senses, but not in the sense that I wasn't thinking. This is a very deliberate thing. I plan the time of day, clean stretch of road, empty road, and so on. I was thinking, Dad, if that makes you feel any better.
Not
and
reckless.
And it did.
Well, but it also fits into something you talk about, which is that, you know, we think teenagers don't know the risk. They often do. And it's just that the reward for them sort of offsets the risk. But let's start with, you know, what the research has been about teenagers kind of being, oh, sorry, teens, but, you know, sort of dopey and making bad decisions because their brains are still developing.
Right. In the 1990s, several groups did long-term brain scans of teenagers and found to their amazement that the brain in humans doesn't really finish developing until about our mid-20s. And before, we thought it finished developing in childhood, and then you just sort of filled it with stuff. So the immediate response to that from a theoretical point of view was, oh, well, this explains why teenagers behave the way they do. Their brains aren't finished. And that's a yes and no thing. It doesn't really completely explain it, because if that was the only answer, then 10-year-olds would act more reckless than 15-year-olds. So what they realized was that along with this arc of development that completes in the mid-20s, there's three things that peak in adolescence that really distinguish it. And those are a taste or tolerance for risk and a taste for novelty. And they want more then than at any other time of their lives to be around their same age peers. And if you look at those as traits, those are all traits that are tremendously useful to humanity, essential to our success.
Ultimately, those three things enable these young people to leave the nest, to leave the home, to take the risk of leaving. So as you said, this is Darwinian. This is what they need to highly develop. Otherwise, if they never left the home, there goes civilization as we know it. So tell us more about that, how that helps them.
The idea that it's that these are evolutionary features, that's a bit of a speculation, but the fact that these exist as a reliable part of this part of development, it has to be explained in some way. In other words, what is good about these three features? And if you look at the task we face at that age, which is to move from the safety of home and out into the world, into a bunch of unknowns, that's the scariest, hardest thing we do in our lives. So you would need tremendous motivation to do that. And that's what the taste for risk taking and the desire for novelty and same age peers provides. Otherwise, you would tend to stay very close to home. And from a species point of view, right, it would not have led to the sort of expansion over territory that humans have accomplished.
Well, but it does feel counterintuitive, because we know the stats, you know, the risk taking stats. I think 1 in 3 teenage deaths is attributed to car accidents. 16-year-olds have a higher crash rate than drivers of any other age. So, you know, I can hear parents saying, you know, that whole Darwin thing is a bunch of hooey. I still want to bring the hammer down because there's just too much risk when they're young.
2 points to make about that. When we say something is adaptive from an evolutionary point of view, it does not mean it's always good. It means it's good more often than it's bad. Now, these traits, it's easy to look at them as all bad, but Steve Jobs died. Mm-hmm. Now, what did he do? Created Apple. He sat in his garage with a friend his age when he was still essentially a teenager, and he was extremely interested in something brand new, these computers that you could do all sorts of even newer things with. And he decided to take all kinds of risk borrowing money and invest and getting other people to invest and owing them things to start a new company. So these traits can lead to all kinds of behaviors. Some of those behaviors can kill you. But if you express them in other behaviors, the same traits, it can lead to all sorts of good things.
So, young people, next time you do something really stupid, you can just say, I was just taking a risk to find out something new with friends that I love so that I can someday move out of the house and continue civilization as we know it.
Right. Or you don't want me here forever, do you?
That's right.
And I should note my son, who did this just 4 years ago, drove like that. He is still taking risks. He is still exploring novelty. He's still investing a lot of energy in people his same age. But he's now doing it as a journalism major at Northeastern, where all these same traits are expressing themselves in different behaviors.
That's so funny because my nephew's at Northeastern too.
Is that right?
They'll probably be taking those risks and doing new things together.
Yes, hopefully more or less sane risks.
Right. Yeah. Science writer Dave Dobbs, he wrote the story Beautiful Brains in the National Geographic. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org. Thanks so much.
Thank you.